Welcome, everyone, to the August 7th edition of the LPP. I am your leader, Agent Darwin. To my left is the rebellious and sometimes awkward Blaster.
Hey.
To the right is the lovely and talented Juarez.
Jump.
And across from me, the fat one, Hurley.
Dude, I got the Dharma Manish.
Wrong.
Oh, really?
The you other fat, the fat one.
You don't work at Mr. Cluck.
I'm worth $300 million.
You're a fat guinea pig.
And I own a box company in Tustin, California.
Uline?
How do you know about Uline?
I mean, it's the box people.
Are they really that ubiquitous?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like it's a cookbook.
Okay. Go on.
Oh, so if you want to get in touch with us, just email us at podcast@laughingplace.com. You can post in the podcast section of the discussion boards. 866-718-9408 is our phone number. You can follow Captain John Twittering or tweeting or spitting over at Laughing Place, at LP Podcast on Twitter.
This is new.
It's an exciting, you know, we should add that to the red section of the rundown next time. And this is podcast number 124, which means next one will be our sesquicentennial. Our will be our 125th podcast.
I believe you mean our Bigfoot episode.
Oh, touche.
No, but yeah, right now I'm going to be.
We're going to have lemon snow cones.
I'm going to be tweeting, you know, general, you know, topics going on right now, and
okay.
You know, listeners will be able to.
What have you told them so far?
We're live, and also
on tape
that you were late.
Thank you. When I knew that you were doing G-Force as the intro,
yes.
I looked up quotes because I didn't see the movie and I wanted to be able to say something
smarter
useful.
Smarter than us, yes.
And the movie quote that I found
was
No, that's a song that's in the movie, so I went with that.
Oh, okay.
The quote I found was, "I'm 9 inches tall, I always see the upside." And that's just pathetic.
That's indicative of the movie that is.
That is
really? Number two is, poop in his hand!
I saw that in the ads, yeah. That's funny.
Was that actually in the movie?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I zoned out for a good portion of that movie.
It was
you know what that makes you?
It was a different take, though. I'll give it that.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, and also in the trailer, Saber talks about taking over the world.
Well, actually, they filmed him pooping his hand from the back this time. And they redubbed it in.
Give you a good view of the poop.
If you play pooping his hand backwards, it actually says, don't see this movie.
Hey, Fanboy, our host for the day.
Yes, DB, our host every other day.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who are our sponsors of the Laughing Place podcast?
Our sponsors are Hojo Anaheim.
The website?
No. Howard Johnson Anaheim, which you can visit at hojoanaheim.com to see their famous Matterhorn cam. And it's where all the Disney fans stay. You know, you can actually stay there and be closer to the front gate than the Disney resort hotels. Also, Mouseers Vacations. It's like having your own personal concierge for your Disney vacation. And they're amazing. I use them whenever I decide to come here. And actually, I bought my house through them. They were that amazing. And they still have concierge service at my front door. It's amazing. And of course, Fiber One Bars.
Mouse Ear Vacations would like to remind you that free dining is still in effect because Disney really needs your money. It needs you to stay on property most nights, September 29th through November 24th, and November 29th through December 17th. So go to mouseyearvacations.com, request a free quote now, concierge service, no extra charge. Let's jump into the pool with voicemail.
Hey, Doobie, hey, Rebecca, hey, Gideon, all you wonderful people out there. I'm Laughing Place Podcast Land. This is Disney Danny. Just calling to wish you guys a very happy 10th anniversary.
Yay.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yoo-hoo.
Really enjoy the podcast. You all are very funny and creative. Anyhow, just wanted to say happy birthday.
You know,
bye.
It doesn't feel like 10 years.
Because it hasn't been for you, you dork.
I'm just going to point out that somehow this voicemail has album information on Windows Media Player.
Have you met Disney Danny? He's a star.
Explain that one to me.
Yes, it is 10th anniversary for LaughingPlace.com. We started on August 1st, 1999, so August 1st, 2009, we turned 10, and we just wanted to make a little mention of that on the LPP, which still is a few years short of 10.
So. Wow, that's awesome. When Thanks, Disney Danny. We appreciate the call. Missed seeing you at an NFFC convention.
Yes, definitely.
He was at an NFFC convention?
Usually.
Who is this guy?
Disney Danny. Weren't you listening?
I understand, but that wasn't on his badge.
Did you not see
I attended him? The NFFC
wow,
convention.
Wow, you may have, well, he may have met the great fanboy and not even known it.
Ooh. No, turn that around. He may have met the great Disney Danny.
Yeah, I'm not great.
Mine was sarcasm.
Great, oh. Not great fanboy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on.
So what's next?
Should I tweet that one? Great, not great fanboy.
Oh, dude, I just got something new come to my phone. We're live.
Wow.
Wait, why are you following LP podcast when you're here? Because
he doesn't really pay attention.
Oh, we're talking about the 10th anniversary.
We were for a second.
Oh.
Before we
see, that's,
no,
that's
dude, a, this reminds me of that moment in Spaceballs.
See, that's a whole. This is a whole new element. I have to guess what we're talking about just so people can keep up.
So wait, he just read the Twitter.
Yes.
Are you then going to report on that? And then,
like I said, this reminds me of that moment in Spaceballs.
So before we leave the 10th anniversary, I just wanted to say thank you to all the people who have contributed to the Laughing Place .com over the years, including present company, Captain John, and Fanboy, and more people than I could ever try to name. Thank you to the community of LaughingPlace.com readers, which really make our place special and different.
Definitely.
Thank you to our sponsors like HojoAnaheim.com and MonsterVacations.com, because frankly, without them, we wouldn't be able to afford to do this, and
yep.
We wouldn't do it out of our own pocket. And
somebody has to pay for our house and our food.
Yeah. And Gideon. Mm-hmm. So thanks to everybody. LP.com is still going strong. We have no plans of quitting. It's still fun.
Despite the fact that the whois.net shows that our agreement is only through 2013. That was a thread on the discussion boards. Magic, I think it's Magic 0214.
You guys, you can extend those.
Was very concerned.
We didn't want to get it any further just in case the Lions were right. Why waste the money?
No, I'm just talking about people. That'd be like, you know, the Stars agreement to do, Bob Barker's agreement to do Price is Right. It's only good till 2008. He might quit.
He did.
Bad example.
Yeah, so there you have it.
You get it. So thanks, everybody. Still having fun. Still going strong. And
you can come to our party in December if you live in the, if you want to. We're having a party at the Naples restaurant in downtown Disney out in California on December 6th.
Right.
Details will be coming, you know, eventually. But you can set aside the time. The price is going to be under $30.
Under $30.
And it'll be a pizza. It'll be like a pizza buffet, as far as I know. That kind of food.
There will be food.
So it will. It will include food, and there'll be frivolity.
The highlight will be the annual Golden Doobies Award.
Which, by the way, Doobie and I had nothing to do with. The readers of LaughingPlace.com wanted a way to acknowledge each other for their creativity, and just general niceness in the boards.
So they chose me.
So they came up with this idea of having the Golden Doobies, and we told them, if you would like to do this, go ahead. But we would wish to have not anything to do with it. Let it be community. Let you guys come up with it yourselves. So they figured out the whole process. And it's a way for them to honor and recognize each other and celebrate the community.
With a button with a golden doobie on it.
Yep. And I usually take an embarrassing photo of Doobie.
Oh, that's hard.
And then send it off to them. One of them was him wearing a dinosaur jack hat. Another one was him wearing a party hat and covered in confetti. And then they manipulate it through, you know, a Photoshop type program to where he looks like
a turd.
So that he looks like this golden blob. It's always very flattering.
Yeah, keep in mind, that's manipulation. I don't generally look like a blob.
I'm just going to move on.
And it's something that everybody has a lot of fun with. So, you know, it's been going on for quite a few number of years now.
And I've got a secret just for you podcast listeners. I just want to say that we've been doing LaughingPlace.com for 10 years, and
we've been
everything we've ever done, nothing is more fun than the Laughing Place podcast.
Yeah, we enjoy the podcast the most, because we just shoot from the hip, and right. It's fun.
Because it's really just our normal life with the microphone on.
Yeah,
pretty much. As was indicated by, we were walking through the studios. It was the captain's birthday this past weekend, so we went to the studios. And we were walking through Sunset Boulevard. From Rock and Roller Coaster to the main entrance.
I was showing some light.
Oh, no. Where were we? We weren't going to the main entrance, were we?
I don't know what you're speaking of at
this
point.
Well, we started to debate whether or not it was a badly designed park.
Oh, yeah. We were walking from Rock and Roller Coaster to
I was whining about the fact that I had to walk all the way out to Hollywood Boulevard in order to go to the animation studio. That's all I remember. But I don't remember if we actually wanted to go there or I just wanted to complain about it. And so then we started the debate over Walt's original design of Disneyland and spoke and wheel and whether or not they connected.
Hub and spoke.
Oh, sorry. No, I was thinking wheel spokes and I said wheel and spokes. Okay. So, yeah. So, and we were debating that. We were doing a comparative thing between all the theme parks and the spoke and hub design. And I told the guys, I should just hit record. I should have, like, a little digital player and hit record because this is the same thing we do on the podcast.
And here is that conversation. See y'all later. All right, moving on. Today, August 4th, 2009, we have one more tower in the Disneyland, Disney World, towerdom. And that would be the Bay Lake Tower.
What would be the first one?
The Contemporary Resort.
Okay.
This is the second one.
Isn't the Grand Floridian thing called a tower?
It's only five floors. It shouldn't
be. Still call it, but it is.
It shouldn't be.
Okay, well, I can't help that.
Oh, I know. The ones over at Bonnet Creek are.
And then don't go there.
And then there's the Tower of Terror.
That's true.
There's the Tower of Money that's backstage. Thanks to the raising prices.
Cell phone tower by Animal Kingdom.
No, that's a tree.
That's a tree.
Anyway, Bay Lake Tower opened today. We got to venture inside.
We wandered.
So we did this really weird thing. We went to the fourth floor of the current tower.
This is very confusing.
Took the sky bridge over to the Bay Lake Tower.
The new wing,
the Bay Lake Tower. And there we were on the fifth floor.
The fifth floor. Ta-da!
Wow. We didn't go up.
That's why they call it the Magic Kingdom.
It's magical.
So that was a little spooky.
We entered the fifth dimension.
But overall, guys, Fanboy, Rebecca, we were all there. What'd you guys think of the new plan?
Fanboy, Rebecca, we're all there.
It still reminds me of Andromeda Strain when I'm in there.
Yes.
Because the colors are rather sterile, and it's curved. So I feel like I'm walking through the hallways of that substation.
When you said that, that was so accurate.
The sad thing is it's not uninviting though. It's not like I feel like I shouldn't be there. You know what I mean? It's not like a hospital.
Don't have a room. I'm pretty sure we're not.
but I mean, when I say sterile, that comes across as like uninviting.
Right.
And it's not. It's just very clean.
What's new?
Well, but it's just
the
color
scheme. Cock material on the window.
I love the artwork. The artwork, the walls are very bland, and the artwork is very bold.
Yeah, can I quote you on that?
Yes. The walls are very bland, and the artwork is rather bold.
Does that fit in 140 characters?
The artwork features like a picture of the monorail. Like, it was 9 or 10 different monorails, like, in rows on the picture frame. And then they were all in various bright colors, primary colors, reds, blues, yellows. It was
green,
nice.
Red, blue. So, what'd you think of the grounds?
They're okay.
Not to be confused with Contemporary Grounds, which is the coffee bar at the main building.
I was happy to see that they have picnic tables and grills.
Is that
like
a DVC requirement?
DVCs have.
Got to have the grill.
Yeah, I guess the other ones. I've seen the other ones do too.
Yeah.
The pool area, they had a lot of interactivity and fun
there was
going
one
on.
Odd thing about the pool area we noticed.
Yeah, it has a fence around it, and you have to use your key card to get in to the pool, which includes the bar and the restrooms.
Unless you just reach over and push the bar to exit.
No, we didn't try that. Maybe you have to use your key to get out as well.
Yeah.
That's creating a fire.
Maybe it senses someone is standing there. Because you're right. It's a 4-foot fence.
Okay, if it senses someone standing there, give it 2 weeks. That system will break and anybody can use it.
So it also had a couple of features which were very, very welcome. It had on one side of the courtyard a bocce ball court. And then on the other side, shuffleboard court.
Mm-hmm.
So they were...
For all those DVC members.
And it has the community hall on the first floor. It has a lobby area, but they don't offer a true check-in there. You do check-in at the main tower, and that's also where the baggage service is. You don't have bellmen and luggage carts at this tower currently.
That is the strange part about this hotel, is the lobby. Because, as you said, it didn't have bell service. You're sure of that?
I heard somebody ask about bell service and luggage carts, and they said that was at the other tower.
So there's a turnaround.
I didn't ask myself.
There's a turnaround at that lobby as if there were valet parking, but there's not.
Right.
Maybe you're dropping off your luggage, but they don't have bell services, so I guess you'd be carrying it yourself. All right. That there is in the lobby is the check-in desk for the observation tower.
And a DVC booth.
And a DVC booth, which, you know, that's like...
Isn't that everywhere?
Like, so it's interesting.
So it's interesting. Mm-hmm.
The turnaround also would be useful if you're a typical family staying for a few days and you brought groceries.
Yeah.
It would be useful for that, because then I don't think very many people want to use bell services to carry their groceries.
No, there's no downside to it other than confusion, perhaps, but it's just...
Right. It's an unusual choice.
It's an unusual choice.
I suspect that when you come to the main gate, they will direct you to the initial tower,
right.
You know. And then the other thing that we noticed was that they have this small lounge on the top floor called mm-hmm. the Top of the World Lounge in acknowledgement of the previous former location...
Dr. Albert World.
The top of the world that used to be at the old tower.
Where the Contemporary Grill is now.
Yes. And
because it has to have a grill.
And they were, we overheard a group touring, and they were discussing access to this lounge, and it was being described to them by a name-tagged man that... that it would be accessible to...
The latest Marvel superhero.
Honorary guest.
It would be accessible by DVC members who are currently staying at the Contemporary. That a DVC member at the Boardwalk would not have access to this lounge. That a DVC member who is currently staying at the Contemporary Tower... the Bay Lake Tower, sorry... would be able to go with a guest to the lounge.
Who is staying at the Bay Lake Tower on DVC
points. On DVC points, yeah.
Wow.
Very restricted.
So if you're even, if like, I'm not a DVC member, and if I was staying in the Contemporary Tower, I would not have access unless I make friends with a DVC member. So my advice to anybody going to the Contemporary new tower, the Bay Lake Tower, is to make friends with people who have DVC merchandise.
Yeah, just go to the gym and meet somebody.
Yeah, go meet people.
Bocce ball.
Then you can go enjoy the fireworks from up there. Oh, the bridge, the Skyway Bridge. We haven't really talked about that. The first half of it has frosted glass, so that you can't look over the edge. We presume it's because you're directly over what is a backstage area with carts and stuff.
Oh, it's so lovely.
But you can see it very clearly from the fourth floor of the Contemporary. Anyway, when you go out there to watch fireworks, right underneath the dirty monorail beam, it's plain as day.
So that was interesting. Oh, they were spray washing that area when we walked by. So that was an interesting choice. I still think it's to maintain guest flow. I think it's to stop people from taking two steps onto the bridge and stopping. So you have to walk a ways before you can start to look at the beautiful view of the Magic Kingdom. So at least that way that there's not a bottleneck right there.
I wonder if they're going to allow firework viewing there. And if they are, as much as I trust Disney and Civil Engineering, I will not be there the first time.
But that's another thing that it would help with.
The first day is fine. The night's a problem.
But that's another thing it would help with, because that whole section of the bridge would therefore be a poor viewing location. So automatically you reduce the capacity of the bridge by...
While that's true, I hope they're not counting on that in determining the weight capacity of the bridge.
The bridge is also covered by frosted glass.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh,
so it was nice that you
What is that? Is that Tiny the Tiger?
No, Frosty.
The Snowman.
Thank you. Okay.
It's a Denny Newell reference.
LP Legend.
Sorry. LP Legend, Denny Newell. We really should write up an article naming him an LP Legend.
We should do, that should be a new feature. LP Legends.
We do. We're taking nominations for the next First, LP legend. Denny Newell.
And Bob Gurr.
Carlos
Sequeiros.
Yeah.
And Bob Gurr.
When did he get named one?
He had a column on the website.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I just missed the ceremony. I'm sad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh,
I had it in my
if
own
we invite
head.
Him to the ceremony, you think he'll be a guest on the podcast?
All right. So Bob Gurr,
Denny Newell, and Carlos Sequeiros.
And Carlos Sequeiros are the only LP legends so far.
Yes.
Bob Gurr, by the way, is now NFFC, Disney legend, and LP legend. That is the trifecta that everyone aspires to.
I'm sure.
Now, here's the thing. Just because they've done great Disney work does not make them qualified to be an LP legend.
Oh, please. If that were the case, we'd have Michael Eisner on there.
I don't want to do Mark Davis, Les Clark. No.
Yes.
First of all, they have to be able to attend the ceremony.
They have to be alive, right?
Yes. And they have to actually be not just one of those normal creative people. They actually have to do something that takes it to...
Well, Bob Gurr is an honorary LP legend because he's like a real legend.
He's deserving even by our standards.
Yeah.
Even though he's a real legend, to interact with him, the fact that he wrote for our Podunk website back when we were even more Podunk.
Oh, totally.
That makes him a true
You need to,
LP legend.
I guess you need to be nice is probably the main requirement.
I've never met Denny Knoll. Is he nice?
He has to be. He does such good work.
Yeah. All right, so we're taking nominations
like
for the LP legend number 4. Send them in to at LP Podcast or podcast@laughingplace.com.
So back to the covered bridge. It's nice because because the sunlight comes through through the beautiful frosted glass, so it's all bright and shiny and everything
the
in there. But it's not. But you won't get wet if it's raining.
Cool.
Because it's open on the sides to the air.
Right. So you will get wet if it's raining sideways.
Yes.
You know what? As amazing as that architectural feat is, I'm so confused by one thing. When you get to the fifth floor.
It's so bizarre.
The monorail is pointed to be on your right. If you continue all the way down, and only will you hit your head because the thing is curved. So if you keep walking straight, you'll hit your head. The numbers are beautiful, by the way. Did we share this?
They are beautiful. They're in three versions. There's the lighted version, the unlighted version, and the braille version.
Cool.
Yeah. You hit an emergency exit, which I presume takes you to the monorail, right?
Okay, what they're explaining is that when we first walked into the new tower, ahead of you is a sign that says, you know, like room numbers 7, blah, 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 mm-hmm. through, blah, 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 left, you know, or these room numbers to the right. Mm-hmm. And then below that it said 2 monorails. And it looked as if it was also pointing to the...
Not TWO.
Yeah, no, 2 TO. And off to the right. And mm-hmm. and I was like, but we just came across the Skyway Bridge. Wouldn't that be how you get to the monorail? It was very confusing. And then we got in the elevator... And we were on the 4th floor concourse at the Contemporary, and we just walked across the bridge and got in the elevator at the new place, and we were on the 5th floor.
That's really weird.
It's magic.
I mean, I can see why, because the 4th floor at the Contemporary is like the size of 14 floors. But
well, it's also, you know, the Contemporary was built 1 floor up.
Wait, the lobby is not, the lobby's the 1st floor, right?
Right, but it's...
But it's a double high
but
lobby?
It's built at Magic Kingdom
level. It's higher?
Level.
But it's also a very tall lobby.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Yep.
Imagine how tall the stories are. That Tower of Terror is 13 stories. That's big stories.
Never mind. We'll have this discussion off
and
there.
And the contemporary main tower seems much closer when you... If you walk through the new Bay Lake Tower and then out past the pool... And look back at the old tower, it seems much closer than it is when you walk that bridge, the winding bridge.
Yep. And we would tell you about the rooms, but we didn't get in them today, and we did get in them a couple months ago,
and we
told
you about
them.
That. Yep, they're beautiful.
Awesome.
Yep.
So basically, you just told them about the Skyway Bridge.
And the grounds.
And the grounds.
Oh, my favorite part of the grounds, well, two things. One, just like the Kidani Village has the tapestry of names, mm-hmm. this has the fountain of names. Oh.
They have names on little sparkly plaques around the fountain by the lobby.
Along with a little saying. I saw one said Laughing Place. I'm not sure. I'm sure they're not talking about us, but it was still good to see. And
by the way, it's the name of some. It's the name attached to that Laughing Place line is somebody who's friended us on Facebook. So I wonder if it's the same person.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And what was I going to say? The fountain. Oh, and the pool. Is right in front of the water, Bay Lake. So as you're kind of looking to the pool, and then you look beyond, there's Bay Lake. I always like that. That's one of the coolest things in the world to me is to see water beyond water.
I like that it has zero entry, and I like that it has a water play area that's just squirting fountains so that, like, little non-potty trained but diapered children have something to play in.
And it's shaped like Mickey's head.
Is it?
Yeah. We saw that from above.
Specifically for the non-potty trained children.
And what was the pool shaped like?
A lima bean, or kind of like an amoeba.
Yeah, kind of like an amoeba with a fat boomerang.
And it's cool because you get to see all the jet skiers going around and the parasailing.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Cheeto that isn't quite like half a Cheeto.
But they carry over the same light fixtures that they have in the main lobby, the bubble chandeliers.
Bubbles.
So I think of their little orbs of light that they have in the main lobby of the old tower. They have those in the Bay Lake Tower as well.
Do you want to talk about the Contempo Grab and Go where we sat down and had some food?
That
sure,
was actually
why not?
Tasty.
It's new.
I like the menu feature. I know other people don't.
What the? Well, it's very. We're talking about the
Contempo Cafe, right?
No, but the menu feature.
Oh, yeah, it's a touch screen where you order your own food.
Right, which is very contemporary.
Yes.
So that's good.
So popcorn or Cheerio? Touchstone menu or...
Hollywood Records.
Touch screen menu or just menus?
Yeah, definitely talk to the person.
Really?
Yeah.
I like this.
But the weird thing is you still have to talk to the person because you still got to pay. Like, you don't pay on the touchscreen.
Yeah, I don't... What's wrong with a little talking to the person? You know what confuses me about the touchscreen? You add it to the menu. I'm sorry, you add it to your order, and then you modify it. Like, I'm seeing the bacon cheeseburger, and I don't want the bacon. But I have to add the bacon cheeseburger and then modify it. And I'm like, what do I do? I don't want the bacon. How do I order this? And I get stuck.
Well, what does that say about you?
Yeah, I couldn't say. Oh, you didn't even bother to read the menu before you went to the touchscreen.
Let's move on.
I put this up for debate, so we'll see if we get any response.
It's definitely the person. But the food was good. I had a flat bread cheese pizza.
LCD or plasma?
Flatbread. Yeah, touch stone with your flat screen.
It was rectangular, wasn't it?
It was rectangular. It was not a pizza. It was flatbread, but my little bit of pizza. And Rebecca was kind enough to give me her goat cheese from her salad, so it was like the best quick serve pizza I've ever had.
I bet it was yummy. I had the steakhouse salad, so it was steak and feta cheese and...
Leftover from the old
red
steakhouse
onion,
I was there.
Yeah, red onions and tomatoes and romaine lettuce all tossed in a mustard dressing.
That's like an homage.
It was yummy. I enjoyed it.
You think that's on purpose?
Yes.
Did they have carrot cake?
No,
authentic
I didn't see any.
Carrot cake?
I saw chocolate cake. I did not see carrot. It doesn't mean they didn't have it, but I didn't see it. They have fountain beverages.
Oh, we have one vote for touchscreen.
And fountain beverages are beginning to feature Powerade, which I like. I like the fact that I can get Powerade at the fountain now.
Does it keep its carbonation well?
Powerade is not carbonated.
Then why is that a fountain? Why don't you just have like a faucet?
They have lemonade at the fountain for years.
They have and water.
And before
sometimes.
That it was High C Punch. Yeah. Now it's Powerade.
Instead of saying we have one vote, can we make it sound more impressive by saying
100%
touchscreen is leading the poll 100-0%?
Sure, if that makes you feel better.
With a 3% margin of error.
Okay. What else is new?
Another
this
one
week?
For touchscreen.
I guess people don't care about what I have.
Not touch screen. Really, no. More for touchscreen.
Woohoo! Touchscreen is
moving
ahead.
It was 100% to zero before, and it's 100% to zero now. So that's the same thing. Okay, what did you have, Fanboy?
I had a Caesar salad with some sort of spicy thing on it. Well, not spicy, but spices, like, gave it flavor. It was quite
like spicy, not spicy.
Yes. So.
This little party in his mouth.
Moving on.
Mine came with a tortilla. I forgot to mention mine came with a tortilla.
Mine came with a fork. And it was yummy. I mean, it was a Caesar salad, so I wasn't expecting much, but. Aren't you glad you asked me?
It came quickly.
Well, actually, it was ready quickly. We had to go get it.
Unlike the Polynesian. I was impressed with this setup versus the similar experience at the Polynesian's Captain Cook. It worked for me better here than it does there, and I enjoyed my food more here than I did there.
Captain Cook is a very small location.
Yes.
Do you think, is this a bigger...
Is this a bigger kitchen?
I mean, for the whole just, ordering system and everything, is it... More convenient?
I don't know. There were more people at the location that we were at today at the time we were there than were at the Polynesian location at the time we were there last week.
Okay.
And I just was more impressed with the overall look and feel of the location. It just seemed cleaner. It seemed better staffed. And my food was better than the other place. Not that the other food isn't good, by the way. I like the food at Captain Cook. But I thought this was better.
Not to be confused with Crocs Bits and Bites, which is a whole other experience.
I love the island chips at the Polynesian.
Why do we really care, though? Because that place is just going to close to expand Chef Mickey's.
They can't. They really can't now. Now that they've opened the second tower, then with nothing.
Let me ask you a question. Taking everything into account, do you prefer the restaurant entertainment selection at the Contemporary now? Or back when we had a Food and Fun Center and Concord Steakhouse and a smaller Chef Mickey?
I like it better now because the grab-and-go is better. Concord Steakhouse, while the Wave is not excellent, Concord Steakhouse was never really anything to write home about either. So at least the environment at the Wave is better than what it was before. So,
are you taking into account the Food and Fun Center?
I am, and that was
that food. Nothing fun.
The fun part of the Food and Fun Center.
But they still have the arcade.
Do they? It's not the same. The Food and Fun Center was like the super arcade. It was big. It had better games. It had better script stuff.
Yeah, but I still think it's better because the food at the Food and Fun Center was very much cafeteria.
It was debatable as food.
Rebecca had her favorite dessert of all time there.
What's that?
What was that? Remember you got that parfait thing?
I mean, peanut butter and jelly thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She loved it.
It was very tasty.
Okay, fair enough.
You peanut butter and jelly trifle.
Do you prefer now or then?
I prefer now. The Food and Fun Center to me was just like Chuck E. Cheese. I was just wasn't. It was seedy.
Okay, now if we're talking cleanliness, Food and Fun Center was the grossest thing.
That's what I mean. It's just compared to everything else, it was just so seedy.
The food. First of all, I like Concord Steakhouse infinitely better than the Wave. But Food and Fun Center had character. It felt like it had been there since day one. Like when you go there,
exactly.
You're going to the original Walt.
Not in a good way.
Walt was only 5 years away from walking.
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't
what
a fan.
What a feeling. If Walt was walking, things would have been a lot different.
Okay.
Speaking of which, we've eaten at a lot of Disney locations recently that we haven't eaten at before, or it's been a long time since we've eaten at.
Like the Dolphin?
We ate at the Dolphin's The Fountain.
Which is not quite a Disney location.
Which is really good.
But do they have high C at that fountain? Or
It's ice cream parlor.
Yes, for Captain's...
And grab and go food.
For Captain's birthday, we took him to dinner at Mama Melrose.
Yeah, it's a spicy meatball.
And I love that place. I forget how much I like the food there.
I had never been there before, and it was good.
You like it?
It was
what did you end up having?
Four cheese flatbread.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could taste
good.
It's kind of like a pizza, right?
Cheeses. All four cheese.
All four.
We had some bruschetta, which so tasty.
And we listened to California Adventure music.
That's so funny.
I love Louisiana, yes. And then we weren't getting dessert because we wanted to have ice cream later, but they were kind enough for Captain's birthday to bring him some amazing ricotta cheesecake.
Mm. That was amazing.
And they were even kinder by not making a big brouhaha about it because the baby was asleep. They came over and they said, "We'll just celebrate this quietly. Happy birthday, happy birthday." And they put the cake down. It was very sweet.
And then Gideon went, "Wah!"
No, Gideon did not. Gideon didn't sleep.
Never mind.
I enjoyed the wood-grilled tuna. It's sushi-grade tuna that they...
Can you taste the splinters?
It's so yummy. It's really good.
Really?
They cooked it perfectly. It was. They asked me how I wanted it, and it was beautifully raw on the inside, like a seared tuna, and nicely. They had the grill marks on the outside. Oh,
that sounds good.
It was seasoned beautifully.
They ask you how you want it cooked, and they give it to you raw.
That's how I want it cooked.
All right.
I like it just enough to where it's almost warm through the center, but not all the way warm through the center.
Beautiful.
It was so good.
Pick one.
And then we went to something completely new. We went over to the Dolphin, took the Happy Boat over there.
The Happy Boat.
And very friendly.
Happy boats come from California.
And we ate at the Fountain, which had some really good ice cream.
We love riding the boats. We always make friends. Every time we ride the boats, we meet people. And we make friends.
Any DVC members staying at the Bay Lake Tower?
No, this was, we made a friend who was staying at the Boardwalk.
Yes,
she was having a lovely
top
time.
Of the world.
We were having a good time.
And,
The Fountain is fun. You seat yourself, which it takes a little bit to figure out because they have a podium, but there's nobody there, and there's no sign saying seat yourself. And it kind of has, like, nice napkins on the tables, and so you're
and
torn.
Plastic glasses.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
They look really authentic, and then you pick it up, and you're like, oh!
The ice cream dish.
You go to pick up a glass you think is a glass that's actually plastic, and you almost throw it over your shoulder.
It's not as bad as the other way. Like, first time I flew first class, and, you know, you take your soda, and you used to... And you chip your tooth.
Did you really chip your
tooth? I didn't chip my tooth, but I felt like I was about to.
Oh, no problem.
What?
I'm so lost. Because, you can put your teeth on a plastic cup and nobody cares.
Right.
But, you think that's what it is.
Because
it's, you're on a plane, it's dark.
I gotcha.
It's a red eye, you're tired, you've been at Disneyland all day. Don't judge.
So that's the difference between first class.
Yeah, I guess.
That and the warm towel.
Yes.
The food at the Fountain was really tasty. They have hand-scooped ice cream as well as soft serve. They're pre-made sundaes. I mean, by pre-made, I mean they're listed on the menu. Those are all made with soft serve ice cream, whereas the make-your-own, where you have choices of toppings, choices of, you kind of build your own, that's hand-scooped ice cream.
And
their shakes are yummy and big.
Huge.
And
really big.
Varied. They have so many different shakes.
Yeah, I got the banana chocolate nut one.
And I got a peppermint.
And they had a PB&J one.
Yeah, I want to try that.
And then what did you get to eat? You got an apple something.
I got an apple pie sundae, which was a sundae with a piece of apple pie in there.
Yeah, it was soft serve, vanilla soft serve all over.
Why would I even call that apple pie a la mode?
No, but it was
a sundae with the fudge and all that stuff.
Apple pie a la sundae.
Okay, one might call it that, and you would be the one. And that's about it.
And then you only got the shake, right?
Right. Yeah.
I got a shake and a
and a Little Debbie's brownie.
And a Little Debbie's brownie. No, and a brownie that was very tasty.
But tasted a lot like little
Yes, it did. It happened.
They're not cookies. They're like little cakes. Like pedophores.
Nobody doesn't like.
Or pedophives, even.
So the service was good?
The service was nice and attentive and pleasant.
And this nice, casual, low-key place is only inches away from the snootiest place on property, Blue Zoo. So that was kind of
fun. Todd English. I'm not quite sure who he is, but I don't like him.
Definitely don't like him.
So we enjoyed that. Well,
but you forgot to mention that, you know, if you get a hamburger there, it comes with a pickle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we're thinking about moving over from Beaches and Cream.
And
the people next to it.
But you got to pay for parking.
And
no, free valet.
Free valet,
but it's all worth it because you can actually put your feet somewhere.
Yeah, the tables are constructed in such a way that you can sit in them comfortably.
Did you get a whole can?
It didn't say a whole can. They have their version.
They
of
the have
can.
Their version, but we don't know.
It's
seven scoops of ice cream and
that's one scoop less.
And various toppings. I don't remember how many.
And they said it includes whipped cream.
And
so it may not be.
No.
Includes whipped cream?
That's exactly what these two idiots did when I was reading it off the menu. I feel as though you were there.
Someday I'll tell you I was.
So it was fun. So yeah, we had a good time.
All right.
We had a good time. But the nice thing is now there's some place convenient to Beaches and Cream if they're way too crowded and we want to eat sooner rather than
later.
So
just tell all the other people, hey, go to the Dolphin.
Okay, walking distance.
Yep. So it was fun. Cool. We had a good time. But last week we ate at Yakitori House. I was unimpressed.
Where's that at?
Japan.
Oh, is that the quick QSR?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is the quick service restaurant.
It was okay.
Wait, what? You worked?
No.
It's always been good.
Well, the menus changed from the last time I went there. Last time I went there, I could get edamame if I wanted.
Oh.
And I didn't see any edamame this time when I was there. So first of all, so I went expecting edamame and they didn't have it. So I was disappointed.
I hate it when I don't see my mommy.
Or edamame.
And then I ordered some sort of beef noodle dish, and it was okay. I
teppanedo, though, in Tokyo Dining. So
I really want to go back there. I was trying to convince the family to go eat there, but they were in a hurry. They didn't want to sit down. And it was funny, because then we all had to use the restroom, and the restroom
That takes 45 minutes, but that one stall restroom.
Right, so we all ended up going to the restroom over at the nice restaurant, and they were all, oh, we should have eaten here.
Ha-ha.
Told you, crazy family.
So it's fun.
You modern family.
By the way, that bathroom doesn't have a changing table either. Not only is it one stall, there's no changing table. Thought I would share.
I will keep that in mind next time I have a baby.
You know, if you're at the bottom of the hill and you know there's a bathroom up there and you got to change it, go walk all the way up the hill only to find out no changing table.
I'm going to move on.
Okay.
Move on.
That's so sad.
All right. Ticket prices went up. Discuss.
It's expensive.
How can Disney justify charging? What is it now? $79 to get into a theme park? Come on, I'm talking. I've got a family of four. Where this is like $500 to go to a theme park, all to line Michael Eisner's pockets. This is just
Michael
wrong.
Eisner. Yes, but if you buy four, you get three free.
Four tickets, you get three free?
No. Buy 4 days, you get three free, and you get free dining, and it's quite affordable. A family of four can travel for $1,600.
All I'm saying is it's really expensive. No, I don't care. I don't care.
They should charge more.
The ticket prices need to be higher.
Yeah.
What was that you read, Rebecca, in the comments of some other place?
Oh, I was reading the Orange County Register article about it, and when the reader started to debate whether or not the ticket prices should go higher, people were saying, well, you know, I'm never going back there because it was so crowded. And they, you know, if it wasn't, you know, if they're, I'm going to pay this much money, then it shouldn't be so crowded. And I was thinking,
supply
well,
and demand.
Then, yeah, well, then I think you answered your own question right there as to whether or not they should raise prices. I mean, it's an unfortunate
thing. You know
what
that means? They should raise prices really high and then, you know, filter them out.
Although, to be fair, in California, it's really annual pass holders.
Right.
Yeah, I was reading on another website. They were saying that it's what?
D23?
No, they're saying it's approaching like 800,000 annual pass holders out there.
They should have 48 out.
That's a lot.
That's like one out of every 300 Americans.
What?
A million? 300 million?
But I was just... I mean, I know it's hard.
It's weird.
That's a lie, Daddy.
It's hard to...
That's the whole state, pretty much.
Yeah, well.
I wonder how many people really are paying the $79. I mean, because yes, that is an awful lot of money for a single day for a family to do something. But then
but the
you
more
start
you pay, the more you play. No, wait. Well, the more you play, the less you pay.
But then you start comparing it to other experiences, like when we go to Disney on Ice or something. I mean, that's
not $79.
No, but it's
the whole day.
It's pricey, and it's only for a few hours. I mean, especially when you add in, usually you end up getting some sort of, I mean, part of, I guess I think of the whole experience. I pay for my seat, and that's what, like $17 to $25. And then you're there. You don't do this very often, so you're probably going to buy something.
It's
so,
the cotton candy.
But you do,
really
but you do that at Disney World, too.
The cotton candy is really
getting
you one of those
ice things.
It's not as
expensive. The cotton candy at
true.
The Disney on Ice show is like twice the price of the theme parks. And at the theme parks, you can get away with not buying that stuff because you buy real food. Whereas at the Disney on Ice thing, you're going to buy more of a treat.
But to me, the thing that I noticed is that it went up about 4%, which is about what the cast member's contractual raise is, 4%. So you're just really adjusting your prices to inflation.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
that's interesting.
You know, the cast members deserve raises just like everybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a raise this year.
Stand on a chair.
Ultimately, though, I mean, they're a business. The park is crowded.
Right.
What else? What can you do? You charge as much as you can charge. You can't have an overcrowded park. You're not going to lower the prices. If you can raise the prices and not lose too many people, that's what you're supposed to do.
It's just so odd in the same breath. I mean, just last week we were listening to them talk about how they're thinking about extending the, you know, free food thing, and they're talking about other ways to increase spending in the park. You know, I mean, it's just interesting to hear that, like, the week after we hear that numbers are down to some extent, to hear that they're raising prices. It's hard, I think, sometimes to sit back and really examine, okay, why would they raise prices? And then once you sit down and you think about it, then it becomes, you know,
well, I also
a
think
little clearer.
There's also, it is cheaper to go to, on average, to go to Disney World this year than it was last year. And now, not if you buy a one-day ticket, but in reality, you shouldn't be buying. They're trying to discourage you from buying a one-day ticket. They don't want you to buy a one-day ticket. They want you to stay four days and buy. You know, and I don't think that, you know, I mean, last year was what? The promotion was $1,600 for a family for four for a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unreasonable, I think, for a family vacation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not affordable to everyone, but not everything is affordable to everyone.
Right.
And that's just a fact of life.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I look at what I pay when I travel to go on my own vacation since I live here, and I would have no problem I pay more than that for a week on most vacations I have. So it's not like if they went from $75 to $90, that would be unreasonable in this economy. But to go up a margin, you know, 4%, that's and only, you know, and they didn't even raise the longer day tickets
that's
as
what
much.
I was wondering. Okay.
So, you know, if you're talking 4 days more to go from like a 10 day ticket to 11 day ticket, I think, then, you know, it's not unreasonable, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, it makes it harder, I guess, but.
Well, yeah, but I guess for me, when push comes to shove, you look at how many people are darkening the door, and if they're still coming, then obviously you haven't priced yourself out of it. I mean, there has to come a point eventually where people just aren't willing to pay the price, and that's when, you know, you would lower it. Hopefully you don't have to get to that point. You realize it yourself.
And they do those promotions for Florida residents or California residents, depending on where you are. And I don't think if if you go up to the ticket booth and buy a ticket, it's expensive. But if you're doing that, you're probably not doing your job right. You know, there is better ways to do it.
Right.
And I mean, I'm surprised about how many people buy their tickets at the ticket booth. You know, there's online discounts. You know, don't go to, like, you know, 192 Shack or something like that. But you know, if you're looking for a travel deal, they're out there. If you're looking for a deal on a, you know, 3 day ticket or a AAA deal, they're out there. Just like, it's like playing the rack rate on a hotel. You know, you really shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Or paying for two meals at Soup Plantation.
Oh, I know. No, nobody should ever pay for that. There's only, I think, 1 week a month that you should pay full fare at Soup Plantation. The rest of it, there should be a coupon somewhere online for buy one, get one free.
What's the 1 week?
I think it's the first week of the month, usually.
Oh, really?
It's very, yeah. I have, from July 31st through, like, August 4th, I don't have a coupon. Yeah. But
I follow them on Twitter, and they have coupons there, too.
Yeah. So, and then the ones in the paper are a different time frame than the ones online. So, if you do it right, you shouldn't have to pay full price at Soup Plantation. Or Sweet Tomatoes. Is
depending on which one. Both of them actually offer discounts.
So, yep.
Wow.
Thank you, new sponsor, Soup Plantation.
That would be nice.
So there's been a lot of news for the...
In a way, Mouse Ear Vacations and Hojo Anaheim sponsor Soup Plantation.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Touche.
Those coupons are a way of making our sponsor money go further. Are we going to talk about the D23 Expo now?
Sure. I'm excited about it.
Poppin'
fresh dough.
Thank you. So I was so excited. Did I tell you? Oh, I told you, but I didn't tell you what I did. So I booked a trip. I booked a hotel for the D23 Expo. And I, in my excitement, I said, you know what? I want to make sure I did it, and I didn't think I did it because, you know, I book a lot of hotels. So I couldn't find the confirmation. So I booked another hotel, and once again, paying in advance to get the cheaper rate. Realized, and then finding the confirmation for the first hotel. So that's how excited I am for the D23 Expo.
So excited, it's made you stupid.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep in a different bed every night of the D23 Expo. And I'm going to leave it at that. So one segment of the company has finally peeled back the curtain to what they're going to be doing at the D23 Expo. And it's much more big than I originally expected.
Really?
So,
big.
Yeah.
Bigger than
well, big.
I'm surprised, actually.
It's and so they're going to have
huge.
Models.
Oh, wait, that's one spot. Sorry.
Models larger than Bay Lake Tower Marina. They have... Going to have never before seen models of classic Disney attractions and upcoming attractions. An exclusive sneak peek at the expansion of Disney's California Adventure that's so big it won't fit inside the Blue Sky Cellar.
Not
even inside the 10-foot by 10-foot Blue Sky Cellar.
Wow.
I know. A chance to meet up close and personal Lucky the Dinosaur.
I haven't.
Wally. Yep.
Wally?
Wally.
Wow.
The cardboard cutout is going to come all the way from DCA. I hope that's not what they mean. A preview of the most advanced audio animatronics figures ever created, which is a separate point from Lucky the Dinosaur and Wally, so who knows. Then a separate display showcasing cutting-edge effects technology, and a peek at the new cruise line itineraries.
Yes.
And there's going to be a 500-seat theater. This isn't just the... Stage 23 or the big arena. This is an additional theater called the Storytellers Theater where they're going to have soup and four cheese ravioli and heat lamps. And they're going to have different presentations, including World of Color, where Imagineer Steve Davison brings to life the World of Color, a water and fire spectacular. So there's your expo money right there. The making of the brand new Toy Story Mania, which has been open for about a year. The making of the U.S. presidents, featuring Mom and Pop Obama and Mom and Pop Lincoln. I guess they're going to talk about great moments of Mr. Lincoln and Hall of Presidents. An afternoon with Imagineering Legends, where Marty Sklar is going to lead a celebration of the careers and accomplishments of Parks and Resorts cast members who have been named Disney Legends, not to be associated with our spinoff event, An Afternoon with LPP Legends.
Bob Gurr should be there. We can give him his badge in person.
You think that Danny Noel will be there? I know Carlos will be there as a guest.
But I meant specifically this legend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You think we could steal the show from Marty Sklar? And then the one that's like getting a lot of buzz, So You Want to Be an Imagineer, a panel of Imagineering will answer one of the frequently asked questions of WDI.
You're serious? That's what's getting the buzz?
Yeah.
I am.
Step one, do not wear any WDI merchandise.
I am so not the demo, because to me that was like, well, you read a Wikipedia article or something. What's the bitch?
I think people, I don't know what it is about becoming an Imagineer, but...
I have to admit, I often do feel like I'm one of the only Disney fans on Earth who has never dreamt or aspired of being an Imagineer.
But, you know,
I have. I just...
Really?
That's not the question I want.
It's like,
how do you become anything? You go to school, you get experience, you work, you apply, you get a job.
But you know what one of the cool things, though, about is Imagineering has so many diverse ways to get to it.
Right.
That it might just be interesting to hear Imagineers tell how they specifically got it. I mean, there's people that went to art school, there's people who are in engineering, there's people who just sort of researched, there's people who story, you know. I think that could be interesting. Just there's so many different ways to get at it.
How about you, Captain? Is that something you want to know?
How to become an Imagineer?
Yeah.
Not exactly. I don't know. Just as Doobie said, it just seems kind of a given.
Mm-hmm. So we've totally just totally put, rained on that parade. It's funny. It's all the buzz, and none of us are. Oh, that's funny.
It's,
you know what? I mean,
I would attend it if I was able to. It would not be as exciting to me as hearing what Imagineering is up to.
Right.
But in this fairness, they are doing that. So, just giving it to more people. I mean, that's what's hopefully will be
I
nice.
Think it,
there'll be
I'm
other.
Not, it belongs. It totally belongs. Yeah. If they didn't have it, I would be disappointed. I mean, that is totally what they are. When people think Disney, they think Imagineering, the creative element, whatnot. So, I mean, as a fan of the company, I think that's one of the things that you really want to discover. And so to have kind of the door popped open on that, I think is phenomenal. And I mean, I'm as far as from a fan point of view, but it's funny. That's one of the elements of the Disney fandom that I've never really connected with is that aspiration to be an Imagineer. I always wanted to be a frontline cast member.
And the thing that's interesting, I mean, I love ops, so I would want to be in operations, but they, It's interesting to me in that it's not something that's just purely marketing. It's not, you know, okay, World of Color, something new. Toy Story Mania, you know, it's big. Presidents is new. But it's something that's just sort of a class as much. Not as, like, you know, want to be an Imagineer. Well, look how the folks that built the brand new Fantasyland did it. You know,
I wonder if that's going to showcase some of the stuff that they do that's of a more academic, for lack of a better word, that they do at IAPA.
Right. Well, they also, you know, launch...
I'm sorry, IAAPA.
You're not allowed to call it IAPA?
What?
Oh, okay.
Comic Con.
They're the ones with two C's.
I think, you know, what would be interesting to learn is that those two research places they opened, that would be, you know, that Ed Catmull was supporting.
Ooh.
That would be interesting to see what they're up to.
Oh, totally. I'm all for that. I really enjoyed the presentation I saw a few years ago about the research animation research library.
Oh, yeah.
That was really interesting, and it was really – and what I found funny was most of the other people who attended that presentation were telling me how dry and interesting it was to them, and I was soaking up every moment of it. It was funny.
Well, I guess to me the big thing is if this is obviously the first big announcement.
Ooh, a 500-seat theater.
Yeah, the first big announcement of what they're doing outside of this keynote.
Right.
And so
– and there are some impressive names on that lineup.
Yeah,
I mean, pretty much each of the big cheeses is coming.
Yeah, they just added was Jim Felding. He's doing a presentation called "The Magic Is Back," and he's the president of the Disney Store, talking about Disney's reintegration of the Disney Store. And that, you know, they're probably going to talk about some of the new stuff going on with them that I'm not sure what's public or not, so I'm not going to go into detail. But there's, you know, some big changes coming to Disney Store,
right?
And that could actually be interesting and probably something that a lot of people will skip over, and I think they might regret it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would just we're not sure if we're going to be there yet, and I'm really hoping things will come through so that we can go because I really want to be there. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Yep. It's just the timing is so bad for Doobie and I. Unfortunately, we have to be out there later that month for a wedding. And then we have a family vacation planned with my family a couple weeks after that. So it's just, it would make for one very busy
back
week.
And forth, back
yeah,
and
exactly.
Forth.
It would be very rough. But hopefully things will come together.
So I'm excited about it. I can't wait. And it's only about a month away. I mean,
I know.
A couple days. It's kind of crazy.
I hope they're ready for it. Phew.
Me too.
they have quite the expectation to meet up with, and it's the first time they've done it, and... You know, you hope it goes well for them, and you hope what doesn't go well is something where people can kind of cut them a little slack, saying, "Oh, well, this is the first time they've done it, and they'll iron out the kinks." But considering the company, you know, we expect a lot as a guest.
And I hope ticket sales are going okay, because I think it's something. Regardless, I'm going to have a good time. So
right.
I hope it's something that we get to do for years to come, and it's not just a sort of burnout.
Well, it's the inaugural year, so hopefully they have decent, solid expectations to build upon for the future.
Yeah, and I mean, well, they did Pirate and Princess for 3 years, so.
That is true. We do know that they are willing to stick with the dying idea.
Like 2D animation.
Oh!
Just kidding.
Ouch.
I don't feel that way. Just too easy.
Oh, man.
Burn.
Speaking of which, there's one of those coming up later this year, too. Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog.
Are you excited about that movie?
What, a frog?
Am I excited about Princess and the
Frog?
Yeah,
you and the captain looked at some artwork from it at the animation area of Disney Studios.
I don't know what the villain's name is because, you know, I saw like three different ones while I was over there.
Syndrome. Yeah, I'm excited.
He's a hero.
I'd be so much more excited if Doty Do 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 wasn't doing the music for it.
You're totally bummed about that,
maybe
aren't you?
Here's my thought process. 2D animation. Oh, that'll be nice to see. Oh, a classic Disney musical. That'll be great. Oh, Randy Newman.
But he's not singing the stuff.
But he's
that makes a big difference.
It does. Well, I hope I'm wrong, but that's just my thought process right now.
Well, the one scene I have viewed that seemed to have music didn't appear to be like Tarzan was, where you had kind of people mm-hmm. singing and then action. It seemed to be
characters.
They were singing.
Yeah, that's all.
I mean,
the better.
I could be wrong.
Tarzan.
Well, Tarzan had, you know, Phil Collins would sing, okay. And then Tarzan was doing something.
Got it.
Not for every song, but you know, whereas
Beauty not trashing the camp.
Whereas like Beauty and the Beast, Belle would sing, mm. and the
well,
Beast.
Well, it's supposed
would
to be
sing.
A musical, right? Like Beauty and the Beast, as opposed to a movie with music.
Like Beauty and the Beast.
One can hope.
Email. What's that mean?
Time for email.
Oh, cool. Just like last time. All right. We got up first from Winget Nike. She writes, "Hey, LPP, I'm back from my 2-week suspension," depending on when you read this. "How are all of you doing? Another mashup of thoughts for you. They speak English and Chinese."
2-week suspension.
Yeah. Last time we read from her, or she said something that made me say, "You're suspended."
Oh, you're mean.
Yeah, and she kept to it.
Wow.
That's right. They speak English and Chinese, various dialects of it in Hong Kong. Glad to hear that Hong Kong is getting an upgrade. My cousin and her son, the cracked one, who really likes DCA better than Disneyland, which is a
wow.
smart person.
What is it, cracked?
Have been there several times.
Unusual.
She finds it very boring.
Special.
Her main complaint was the lack of rides. Yeah, that's what I didn't like about Hong Kong,
Wait,
too.
Lack of rides at Hong Kong or yeah. Disneyland?
Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
Hong
so
Kong.
I was like, if she thinks there's Disneyland. A lack of rides at Disneyland, well, don't go to the Magic Kingdom.
She writes, "I loved So Weird. I really wish they would put that on DVD or rerun it somewhere. I think they have a few episodes on VHS that I taped during a So Weird marathon."
So
what
weird.
Is So Weird?
So Weird. It's a Disney Channel show. It's like mm-hmm. X-Files for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think it went 3 seasons.
Wow, that's strange. I have a Wii.
I might say it's weird.
I have a Wii, and I plan on getting Toy Story Mania, Midway Mania. That way I can avoid the sticky handles. Bucket O' Crispy Treat sounds delicious.
Oh.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
But only 5 pieces per cardboard bucket isn't enough for an office present. The reason why I like the Japanese omiyage?
Mm-hmm.
Homage.
I thought it was omiyagi.
Omiyagi, thank you.
Homage.
Moron.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And oh. He's thinking of the wrong word.
Okay.
Omiyagi is because there are many decent-sized pieces per tin. It's a one-stop souvenir shop. Now I have to ride Heimlich 2-2 train just to hear the German accent and Spanish safety instructions. My current favorite is the Gurr Surfer Dude accented Spanish safety instructions. Do you guys have any favorites? I don't remember the Gurr Spanish.
My favorite is Aladdin's Magic Carpets, where Aladdin does it and says, "And then, as my great friend the genie says," but he gives it.
"I appreciate having the DVDs available, but the randomness of seeing which cartoons were up on Good Morning Mickey or Donald Duck Presents was part of the fun of each day. It was like having all of the cartoons on shuffle, and it was a surprise seeing what would show up next. Oh, and my mom constantly watches the Hallmark Channel because they show Parent Trap, Pollyanna, and other Disney movies. We have DVDs for all of these." But, yeah, still watch them on TV.
I just taped a Hallmark movie to show you later this week.
And we watched one this week called, what was that?
No, that wasn't a Hallmark.
Oh, really?
No,
that was a...
part of that TCM thing.
But it could have been on Hallmark
yes,
because
it was
Pollyanna.
It was Pollyanna.
Starring Haley Mills and...
Mucci.
Not Jack Klugman.
Mucci.
Who was that guy? Who was the preacher?
Jack Klugman.
Dang, who was the preacher?
Carl Malden,
Jack Klugman, they're so similar.
And Agnes Moorehead, Jane Wyman.
All-star cast. What was Jane Wyman in it?
Oh, maybe Jane Wyatt. No, it's Jane Wyman. I always
maybe
confuse those
Jane
two.
Jane from...
You ignorant slut. No, it was good. I've heard mixed things on Pollyanna, but it was a quality film.
You liked it, huh?
Very good.
What did you like most about it?
Haley Mills.
Yeah.
She's a star. She's got a future ahead of her.
She's so adorable
Miss
in this
Bliss.
Movie.
Brotherhood. We talked about hearing about weird stuff like death when we're at Disney. She writes, "I was at home when I heard that Princess Di died. My family had just come home from a church party, and I remember thinking there must have been a mistake." That's kind of a
mm-hmm.
way that goes. Speaking of food, because we were, after you guys complained about Magic Kingdom's lack of selection,
I know now that DCA and Disneyland have a pretty solid lineup of snacks.
Hee hee.
However, more variety is still welcome, especially foods that can be eaten while strolling through the park. I'd like to see paletas, the ice fruit, ice milk popsicles that are usually sold in food carts near public parks here in California.
Hmm.
Ick. Walking crepes, sweet and savory crepes done the French and Japanese way, where it's rolled up like an ice cream cone. Plates not needed.
Yes, I'm with you there.
Skewers or stick food, like the ones found at Bingo Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And calzone or pizza pockets, snack size food. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Pizza pocket.
If you want a big meal and not a big deal, what are you going to pick? Pizza pocket.
Yeah. And she just heard today that Disney picked up the novel Wings, and Miley Cyrus is set to star in it. Is that the one with...
Yeah, the fairies.
Oh, not the one with the two guys who own the airplane?
No. Oh, yeah.
And off Nantucket? No.
Yeah, the Steven Weber and the guy that's... Tim Daly.
Yeah, no. That would not be what this is.
So the story looks interesting. It sounds as if Disney is trying to grab more of the teen fantasy drama crowd. Is that like a...
Yeah, you know, the Twilight people.
Yeah, exactly.
They go to see feel-good troll movies, too.
Feel-good troll movies?
Yes, like...
Name
where
one.
Where the Wicked Things Are?
Just got Where the Wild Things Are title incorrect.
Wow. Yeah.
You should be surprised when he gets a title correct. K-Force.
Well, this sounds like an interesting film. It's about a seemingly ordinary girl who discovers that she is a fairy sent among the humans to guard the gateway to Avalon. And, of course, there's love, and, you know, she's torn between the world of fairies and trolls.
Is Ryan Merriman in that?
And I don't know. I see that Miley Cyrus is in it, and I see it's a novel that's the first of a planned 4-book series, and the second book is to come out next year.
Because Ryan Merriman's the guy that they turned into a Little Mermaid and a Leprechaun and all those other things on Disney Channel original movies.
Oh, he was in that.
Oh, that poor guy.
The Luck of the Irish.
The Luck of the Irish, The 17th Year, and then Veritas the Quest and all that stuff.
Veritas
the Quest. What was the other show that started at the same time?
Miracle.
Miracle.
Push.
Miracle. What was a Miracle about?
Didn't Push start too?
19.
Push Nevada?
Mm-hmm.
No, that was, I think that was like the pilot, like fall. These were all mid-season.
Really?
Yeah. Push was Miracle was about the 1980 Winter Olympics.
No, the TV show with that
it's about the priest
with that cutie that they eventually put on Jericho,
Ulrich.
Right?
Yeah.
So next up, we have an email from Ansemnus, which I can never say.
Ansemnus.
Thank you.
It's like handsomeness, just without the hop.
Okay.
Inspired by the hit Disney Interactive Square Enix game Kingdom Hearts.
And he talks about Epic Mickey. The title is supposedly a steampunk-oriented take on Mickey Mouse, Disney theme parks, and other Disney characters. And he has seen what is reported to be concept art for this game. It's a giant whale-like structure with Disney World icons like the Spaceship Earth, the studio's water tower, Tower of Terror, mechanical Goofy. They see a mechanical lift that resembles an elephant. There's a robot that resembles a scorpion that has a head of one of the country bears. Cinderella Castle several of the pictures.
Wait, read that again.
Yes,
about the
there's a
bears?
Robot that resembles a scorpion, and it has one of the heads of a country bear.
Wow, if they weren't scary enough, they were.
Most of the images...
Blood on the sand.
For everybody who just had a heart attack.
Most of the images show...
Apologize.
Most of the images show environments that look wore down or kind of like a war zone. Do you think that this is true? I personally do like the concept and hope that the final result is very much like the artwork. I want to see how Disney can handle using its brands in a more intense way that's geared toward teens and adults. I'm not saying everything should be rated PG-13 or R, but some more adult things scattered amongst Mickey Mouse Clubhouse would be nice. He gives a link. It appeared on Kotaku.com.
Oh.
KOTAKU.com.
I follow them on Twitter.
You can see Epic Mickey stuff there.
I'm pretty sure Kotaku is Japanese for the onion.
I thought that, Fanboy, you saw some of this at Comic-Con, right?
No. Well, yes, in that I saw the website for my hotel at Comic-Con.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought it was part of Comic-Con.
Well, in that way, it was.
I guess I want to know what the story is. I'm not a big fan of, like, Goofy becoming evil and trying to kill people. But if they can...
Really?
horse collar, maybe. So I guess I will want to see... I guess the plot is supposedly that Mickey is trying to be taken revenge against by the lesser-known characters.
Mm.
At least that's a rumor.
It's apparently a Nintendo Wii game, from what I understand.
Yes, Wii exclusive, I believe.
And it's codenamed Epic Mickey, so we really don't know yet what the
Light project, Magic.
What it actually is. We just know it's a project name.
And it's made by a famous game developer, Warren Spector, and Disney purchased his studio, Junction Point Studios.
Didn't he just go from Republican to Democrat?
That's Arlen Spector. Gotcha. The great senator from the state. And so it's been rumored for at least over a year of what he's working on. So I guess this is it. We knew it was Disney Toon related, and because he actually created a card based role playing game called Toon, so we knew it was very Toon related. So
I'm showing the team a picture now of that whale with
Siemens
the spaceship Earth and stuff.
You know what?
This is very weird.
Right next to an ad for Jason. Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb.
This was on GameSpot, the images I'm looking at now.
Based on two paragraphs and one picture and say this is a bad idea.
Yeah, but people thought Kingdom Hearts was a bad idea, too,
yeah,
and that worked
they were
out
right.
Okay.
No.
That's a
great game, and it's very true to the story. There's nothing...
This sounds like it's going a bit over the top with the kind of adult angle.
I'm willing to wait to see how they explain it and what the... point is.
I'm not ready to shoot it down just yet, but they have to work.
I wouldn't mind them trying to create more Kingdom Hearts, Kingdom Keeper kind of, not edgy, but not sissy either.
Right, yeah.
This bothers me. The picture of this weird goofy, the goofy with he has no nose, he looks like he's a robot who has seen better days, scars, no eyeballs, his arm is ripped off, his clothes all have holes.
And I wonder, is that supposed to be the bad people created a bad version of Goofy, or is that actually supposed to be Goofy? Because that makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. How this is used. But it kind of worries me.
Steampunk plus Disney equals bad idea.
Oh. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think it's a very fine and difficult line to walk.
We'll see what the revenue potential is.
Well, the nice thing, though, is Bob Iger is Mickey's controller, and he won't let anything bad happen to him. Captain.
Captain?
I've read the boards, and the people are clamoring.
People are clamoring?
They want to hear from you.
They want to hear from me. It's that time again. It's been a while, hasn't it, Tubi?
It's been, 4 weeks, I think.
4 weeks? Yeah, I think so. Because my little answer key here says July 10th was the last answer here.
Yep, that'd be 4 weeks.
I heard this song on a kid's station the other day, and it was about all the fun things you can do with a baby brother or a baby sister.
What would you do with the baby brother?
Sister, what would you do with
a baby? What would you do with a drunken brother? What would you do with a drunken brother?
It was fun. You could do all kinds of fun things. It was very cute.
Shove him in a locker.
It was, actually. Some of it was mean stuff.
Poop in his hand.
So, last time...
You're fixated on poop today, Ben.
This is what happens when he goes to see a Disney family film.
Okay, so last time I asked...
yeah, that's coincidentally.
Seasons of the Vine. Season of the Vine.
The Blue Sky Cellar. You know, the exhibit of upcoming Disney California Adventure attractions at D23 is so big it won't fit in Seasons of the Vine.
Wow. Can Jeremy Irons fit in there? Because that's the answer.
I hope so.
How's that for a segue?
What was the question?
He doesn't want to grow anymore.
I said the narrator for Season of the Vine, and the answer is Jeremy Irons. Utah Josh, was the winner.
Wow, tell him he won. Or, no, not tell him he won. You could tweet that he won.
I could tweet. That would require too much multitasking. I'm trying to think. So, this week's question... I pulled the panel here, and, we came to a conclusion. This week's question is the Contemporary.
Heard of it.
The hotel.
Heard of it.
What was its original name? So, there you have it.
Well,
hey, gay.
I want to clarify this question. Its original name as its name when it's opened, or in its original concept, what was it going to be named?
The concept.
Okay.
It opened.
I'm pretty
as
sure
a
it opened.
It opened as a contemporary, but
okay. In the development phase.
Before it debuted,
the Wild Animal
before
Park.
Before they cut the ribbon,
I believe it was going
was
to be called
coming.
Kingdom Tower.
If there was ribbon cutting involved.
That's funny.
So awesome. Well, you can answer it. You can answer by how do you answer?
Post a message on the podcast section of the discussion board. Where have you been?
I forget these things.
Or you could call it in if you have any extra info you wish to divulge.
7-3-9-866-718-9408. There we go. All right, and before we close today, we do want to read from Bubba Rand's Corner. I'd also like to say happy birthday to Brent, who will be celebrating his birthday at the happiest place on earth.
Ooh, he gets in free.
On Thursday, which would be yesterday as this debuts, he writes, "Much to talk about in so little time, so let's start the party and see what's going on this week. Supersized, okay. Okay, so this Hong Kong expansion had me thinking. Would this actually make me want to visit? I say yes. I want to see the ugly birth child of Big Thunder, Everest, Grizzly River Run. I want to go to this new adventurers club, no matter how much it won't live up to ours. The Toy Story area, even though some may think a bit tacky, it looks like fun. But since we have a few years to wait until it's done, we should all wait and instead go to Disneyland, and what better place to stay than Hojo Anaheim?
Hojo Anaheim.
This proud sponsor of the LPP is just a short walk from the main gate of Disneyland and even closer than the Disneyland Hotel itself. It's where true Disney fans stay to play."
Is that like their 747 bit for Hojo Anaheim?
Mm-hmm. Reviews. Okay, now that everyone saw the Pirate and Princess Party, I don't think that's what PPP stands for. Princess Protection Program. I can say it was one of my favorite DCOMs in a while. I can say with ease I would love a sequel.
It was nice.
DCOM original movie.
Pirates League. I've not done it for myself, but did experience it by videotaping it for someone else from another site. Excuse me. By videotape from someone else from another site. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know there were, frankly. I can say that I will for sure be going back for myself to visit and get made into a member of Captain Jack's crew. The theming was wonderful, and the CMs do an amazing job bringing the experience to life. You may say $50 is a bit much for face paint. $50 is a bit much for face paint. But it's much more than that with the all-around experience, so give it a try if you can.
So I got a question. Is that experience only $29 less than a whole day at the Magic Kingdom of value? Just saying.
You can't start comparing like that. You
watch me.
Online reservations. You know, I sometimes have reservations when I go online. Am I really private? Am I protected? Am I going to get a fire? Oh, I finally used the online system to make a dining reservation.
I love it.
I say it went smooth. But the restaurants need to have a better search function for finding the restaurant itself and finding a time when the certain place is available during your stay. Other than that, it's nice not to have to call all the time to plan out your places to eat. You know, are we so bizarre?
How bizarre.
Both the old and the new system seem to rely on you pick a restaurant and pick a time. Whereas when we tend to eat, we want to eat someplace and let us know what times are available.
But that's what it does. When you make the reservation, and if it's that time's not available, it'll give you the options around that time or another location that's similar.
Right, but it doesn't... I mean, seriously, I want to know.
It only gives me the options an hour before or after the time. I would much rather say, I'm coming to the resort between this and this date, and I really want to eat at this restaurant. Tell me when it's available, and then I pick.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think the a la carte system is still being worked out, so I wouldn't be surprised to see if that functionality is added.
Okay.
But it's funny because when I thought, oh, maybe we're just different that way. Maybe most people are time driven. I'm not time driven as much as I am location driven.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think most people when they visit are somewhat time driven because they're trying to fit it in their touring plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't say, I really want to eat at, at the Soleil at 8 o'clock. When they really are saying, I need a dinner at Epcot at 8 o'clock.
Well, mm-hmm. So we are that different.
I mean, that would be my guess. I haven't done a scientific poll.
We'll get started. I didn't fall asleep. On the 4th, I saw the new Hall of Presidents. Now, I have to admit, I have dozed off in the past during this show, but that has now changed. Now I doze off in the present. The slight story structure in the film kept me wide awake. The digital projection made a clear difference in the picture, just like in Fantasmic.
I suspect Gettysburg blasts helped too.
the rioters in the crowd, they woke him up.
Cheerleaders.
And makes everything just off the screen. Lincoln speaking is a great choice, and Washington leading into Obama also works very well.
I have to admit, I really think it breaks it up when you have a little bit of the film, mm-hmm. and then the president Lincoln speak, and then the film again, and then the rest of the presidents. I think it helps break it up as opposed to just being kind of film.
Agreed. All in all, it was an awesome refurb, and I will now make more regular visits to this great attraction.
It is one of the few places on property that still is just as cold as it has always been. It is very chilly in there.
Well, it is. You know how hard it is to keep cool? How many presidents have there been? 44 animatronics?
I wondered if that was why it's still so chilly in there, if it was because of the animals. Because a lot of the other places now, they don't operate the air conditioning at the same levels that they used to, or at least that's my perception. But that place, that's still
it is cold.
I hear the Disney Cruise Lines won't be going there.
Nowhere near Hall of President. Very cold in Liberty Square. Yeti me surprise. Also on the 4th, I checked out the Yeti in what may be called A-minus mode. He is moving, but not as much as he used to, but any moving from the Yeti is a good sign. They are also still using the strobes, but they are not as intense, so it makes it a bit easier to see the awesomeness, which is the Yeti. I hope they keep at it so it keeps moving like it should for years to come. I just rode Everest. I didn't notice it moving.
Maybe.
Could be me.
Probably.
Ask the crew. I thought we should learn even more about our favorite crew on the Disney Sea, so I ask you this. What is your favorite pre-show safety spiel or one-liner from any ride in all of Walt Disney World? Mine, I would say, is the Dino pre-show with the amazing Dr. Marsh and Dr. Seeker, which I know the entire pre-show by heart. That's very easy for me.
Rock and Roller Coaster pre-show.
That's your favorite?
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead.
That would go on a podcast.
Chris, could you?
We're never gonna get that clean, right? Hello, what you do? How you doing? Welcome to my park. That has got to be the best pre-show in the history of all pre-show, right?
Moving to the center of the row is strictly unpatriotic.
Unpatriotic.
I'm Dinah. I'm Dorothy. And I'm Max. Debbie was sick, so the union sent me.
Yep.
Rebecca, that would be mine too.
I think that's mine as well. That's the only one that's the only pre-show I can think of where I'm disappointed when I get there and there's a minimal amount of time. Yeah. I'm like, I'll wait.
So just to have something different to say, I'll say my favorite safety spiel is the classic, hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here is the wildest ride.
Wait, did they say
that guy just died?
Corey Burton died?
No, not the old original guy.
Who was it? How do you know that?
It was on D23. He also did a lot of voice work for Disney, but
I thought the question was pre-show, not spiel, or did it say spiel?
He said one-liner. He threw in a bunch of things. There were various things.
Take your pick.
Okay. Safety spiel.
I just wanted to. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them.
Well, as amazing as this email has been, it's time to end this shindig of an email. So please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, mantenga Alejandro de las puertas. Diz Freak Brent, happy birthday.
Woohoo.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Let's
go. Party. So, that's everything on the agenda today. Podcastlaughplace.com, 866-718-9408. Don't forget to patronize mouseyourvacations.com and hojoanaheim.com, the two sponsors of the Laughing Place podcast. Don't forget to follow us during the podcast, during our recording, at LP Podcast.
And we'll try and let you know with a little bit more advance notice next week so that you can join in the fun and maybe throw out some topics for us to debate during the episode.
And before we close, though, of course, I wanted to see if anyone had anything else to say.
I stumbled across a interesting video on YouTube. It's not particularly valuing the magic, though, so should I bring it up?
Yeah.
Dinosaur, magic alert. Dinosaur with the lights on.
Ooh.
It was quite entertaining.
Well, I'm sure scary? It would be.
Was it scary? That ride is always scary.
You'd be the opposite of our experience, which was dinosaur with no sound and no lights.
Well, dinosaur doesn't really, like, that's one dark ride. I mean, when they say dark ride.
It's not a dark ride, but yeah, it is one dark ride.
Oh, we're not going there.
It doesn't
again.
Have the park.
It was so.
That's. Oh, and that I'm shocked, and yet not shocked that Liam Neeson is a voice in Ponyo, because that further proves that Liam Neeson just shows up when you least expect him to.
Ponyo.
So wait, if people want to see this video, it's on what website?
YouTube.
Yes. Have you heard of it?
Gotcha. I've heard of it.
Spelled Y-O-U.
Tube.
Tub. Tubi.
Anybody else?
We had so much fun touring the parks when your family was here. We spent many days, full days, out.
You know what your nieces enjoyed, which I thought was interesting?
Celebrate Tonight.
Yep. It
has a song?
No.
No.
Oh.
We gave it a song.
I'm still hoping that Downtown Disney song surfaces someplace.
They enjoyed being a part of the dance-offs and stuff. They stayed till almost 2 a.m.
Yeah, they stayed till close.
Wow.
Yeah, each of the nights they were here, just dancing the night away with along with their mom. They had a great time, the three of them. And they also spent most of their time at Epcot. Seemed they kept going back to Epcot. I think they saw Illuminations 3 times while they were here.
Yep,
that's a lot of times to illuminate Earth.
Trying to think. You know, one of the things that I shouldn't say surprised me, but they really enjoyed taking pictures at all those silly little photo spots that the Disney company creates, which, you know, I never bother to do because I don't to take pictures of me. But, like, when you're walking along the tiger path in Animal Kingdom, there's that broken down bicycle, you know, well, they sat on the bicycle and took a picture. And then when we were walking to Asia, to Everest, they took a picture by the ice cream truck because it's all bright and colorful. In Canada, they stuck their head in the little
I never realized
totem
just how
thing.
Dorky my sister is.
It was so cute. They made sure to take a picture by Victoria Gardens because they were so beautiful. You know, a picture of the mom and the daughter. I was really amazed by just how many times they stopped and took pictures. And then in all the little shops, they have pictures of them playing playing the little flute in Morocco. They took a picture of that. They put on the headdress in Morocco, took a picture of wearing that.
Such a tourist.
I guess I've never really been a tourist.
Yeah, it's really cool to see how normal people go to a Disney theme park. It's a little different.
We had so much fun.
Utah Josh chimes in. I'm just going to throw this in. That the best pre-show, as you know, is Muppet Vision.
Yeah. I think it's unanimous.
See, there you go.
It's unanimous.
Indiana Jones. But Indiana Jones and Everest are great lines, he says.
Indiana Jones.
He ran out of characters on Twitter, so we had to put lines instead of cues. Indiana Jones is a decent cue.
Pull the rope.
And that has some great lines from Sala, you know.
Everest.
Sala.
A lot of people talk about Everest being a good cue. Do you guys agree?
Oh, yeah.
I've waded in it once.
Everest is just a bunch of stuff to look at.
But it tells the story and everything well. It's like you have the artifacts and you read stuff about how, you know.
And then you read all this and you end up on the Forbidden Mountain. You're not even at Everest.
I know.
Indiana Jones, you know, the Fountain of Youth.
That's got a great cue.
And the strollers.
Oh, you know what else has a great pre-show? Finding Nemo the musical.
Pre-show?
Nemo!
Nemo!
Yeah, it is.
Nemo!
They still do the crush thing. Yes. The square. You say dude, 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It cracked me up. But there was this family, the last time we went to the Nemo show on Father's Day, there was a family. There must have been like 8 of them. And any time Nemo would appear, the entire family would stand up. And there were no children in this group. I mean, it was all like teenagers and up to adults. And whenever Nemo would appear, all of them would stand up and point at whichever side the Nemo was. There he is! It was so funny. Oh, no, I think they yelled shark bait, didn't they?
Didn't
they stand up and yell, shark bait? Shark bait! I'm pretty sure that's what they were yelling. We were having a good time with that.
So are you guys excited for Cucina?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The new restaurant coming to Disney's Boardwalk Resort and Villas.
Very.
Sure.
Any new restaurant's exciting.
We like food.
What? Yeah, food.
Cat Cora's coming to the restaurant.
Has Poodles closed? What, did it just close on?
Everybody wants to be Cat Cora.
We haven't even eaten at Flying Fish yet. We should eat at Flying Fish before this new place opens.
No.
Okay, fine. I want to eat there.
No, I want to eat the Flying Fish.
We
had a reservation there, and we skipped it during our last vacation here.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Anything more on visiting with tourists?
It was just fun. Oh, I finally had the experience that I've heard so much about and had never experienced. And that was that we stayed long enough to be in the park when Illuminations is over, and we were leaving the park.
Ole, ole, ole,
yeah,
ole.
And we were in the midst of it. Must have been 5 or 6. No, I take it back.
Million.
3 or 4. No, it was 3 or 4 tourist groups from Brazil, Argentina, and they were chanting loudly. And they would chant loudly, the guide would lead them to chant even louder. And I had never, you know, I always heard the stories from, you know, people I know who've worked at the park or whatever, but I had never encountered this myself. And it didn't bother me, just because it was the end of the day, you're leaving the park, it's pretty open space. I could see how it could be annoying if you were trapped inside the mansion and this was happening or something, but it was funny to see guest reaction, because some guests were like obviously quite intimidated and nervous by this horde of of people who are singing very loudly and getting closer and closer, or there is like they're about to be swallowed by. It was funny to watch. I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, my first time too, and it was rather annoying. I mean, there are worse things in the world,
right?
I hate myself sometimes because it's not that annoying.
Right.
What's annoying is that these people don't care about the people around them, and so I let that bother me more than what's actually occurring.
But you don't know that.
Okay, if they do care, then that's all the worse. Because what, do they think they're being entertaining?
I thought it was a great way to keep the group together as they were leaving.
What, the 40-foot-high flag doesn't take care of that?
Yeah.
But see, and that's the thing. I know that as a fact, when they book the trips, they're told... The tour guides are told no chanting.
Oh, really?
And that drives you crazy.
Okay.
It's like, you know what the rules are, and you just decide to not honor them.
Oh, okay.
And that, you know, I mean, because if everyone did that, then nothing would work at the park.
Yeah, no, I could see, like I said, I could see where in other circumstances this could be infuriating and grating to deal with. But in the particular instance that we encountered it, it was just an unusual cultural experience.
At Epcot. Who knew?
It was fun, though.
It was a showcase.
I also discovered that if you're somebody who, like us, we had a little guy, so we didn't really want to get kind of...
Billy Buddy?
No.
Frank God.
We didn't want to get kind of stuck in the midst of all the people, so we sat over by the baby care center while the fireworks were going off. There's benches there by the bathrooms and everything. That's a nice place to watch Illuminations.
You're able
to enjoy them and, you know, hear the music, see the pyro, but not... be, you know, surrounded by people so that the baby could sleep. It
worked
out
well. Quick escape. Yeah,
yeah, pretty decent escape.
Right next to the fabulous Odyssey restaurant.
Tasty.
Oxygen. I love riding the buses. I don't get to do that enough. I did that with the nieces because we rode from Magic Kingdom to Disney's Animal Kingdom because we didn't have enough. Our car didn't seat everybody in our party. So Doobie took some of the family home while the girls and I killed time by going over to Animal Kingdom Lodge.
How was Magic in Motion?
And,
Magic, the music and the talking on the bus?
I loved it. When we got on board the bus, they welcomed any first-time... They, you know, hey, we're happy to welcome those first-time guests on board. I was like, oh, that's nice. I mean, and I'm guessing they saw somebody wearing a first-time button, so that was cool. And then we had a princess on board, so they asked everybody to be on their royal behavior as we enjoy our ride aboard our magical coach, you know, in reference to the bus. And then they also... And then a few moments later... there was a pirate on board, and so they avast me hearties, there be a pirate aboard, be sure to keep to the code. You know, so I thought it was cute. I think it would have been better if it hadn't been button one, button two, button three pushed, like, in succession, if maybe, you know, there was a little bit more space so it actually felt personalized as opposed to just... But it's a neat idea, and I really enjoyed it. So I enjoy that, and I figured if I was wearing a birthday button, that there probably would have been, you know, somebody celebrating a birthday on board the bus or something. You know, it just seems really neat.
I mean, it sounds really cool, but
they talk about like
somebody. That's you paraphrasing, right?
No. It says we have a princess on board. It doesn't say somebody. It says we have a princess on board.
And they talk about like your destination too, right?
This place.
No. I don't know that it did because we were on our way to Animal Kingdom Lodge. I don't think that they talked about
that.
Yeah,
Lodge.
We were on a
when you go to the
hotel
park.
Bus.
It'll say, you know, be sure to see this attraction, be sure to see this attraction.
When I took it to the studios that time, when we wanted to test getting our stroller on a bus, it did that, definitely.
And the music changes. It has, like, Magic Kingdom music and whatever, and then when you start to get closer to your location, it changes to music that's more thematic. By the way, if you do take the bus from Magic Kingdom to Animal Kingdom Lodge, your first stop is Kidani Village, and then your second stop is Jumbo House.
What about Blizzard Beach?
Okay, fine. Your first stop is Blizzard Beach. And then your second stop is Kidani Village. No.
It doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't stop at Blizzard Beach.
Blizzard Beach is always the Animal Kingdom.
When you go from a resort,
it's the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, when we left the... No. When we left the Animal Kingdom Lodge and went to the studios, that's when we stopped at Blizzard Beach.
It depends on the resort, but only the resorts go to Blizzard Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's when we stopped. And then we got off at the studios, and we walked along the river and went over and checked out the boardwalk and then took the boat. So I gave your nieces, like, an overview of all the resorts while you were transporting
This is all nothing compared to the fun to be had if you're at a Fort Wilderness at night and playing Spot the Difference on the Disney bus.
That is so much fun. That's like my favorite Disney World travel game.
Yeah.
Spot the Difference.
Spot the Difference. Yeah. Because everyone knows that.
They turn off all the lights.
That's funny.
So then you do something different, and then when the lights come back on at the next stop, they have to guess what you've changed. That is a fun game.
Who decided to put everything that you would want to do at the resort at the back of the resort? Just saying. I want to go see Hoop-Dee-Doo. I'm going to park my car, take a bus.
That is rather interesting. You just said, oh, hey, Rebecca, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say that Jeff Lang wanted to know if Fanboy's singing was going to be tweeted. But you haven't sung.
Lucky bird inside a gilded cage. La 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 la. I can't believe you got one line right.
I know, I'm impressed.
He's officially been tweeted.
Woohoo!
Fanboy singing.
Fanboy sings.
Yeah. Juicy.
I'd like to bring up something that all four of us enjoyed and no one has made one hint about.
Uh-oh. One hint?
The new spectacular. Maybe you saw the ratings on it. I didn't, but I can't imagine they weren't spectacular.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Grey's Anatomy. Defying gravity.
Have you noticed how it rhymes with Grey's Anatomy?
Just now.
Who told us that? Was Captain the one?
No. It was a friend who came over the other night.
Okay.
Oh, man.
We have friends?
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
That's like taking a boy show and getting all the boys excited and then actually having a chick show. It should be illegal.
How did the ratings do? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. I am too scared to look.
It wasn't... Okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't that bad.
Yes, it was. It was bad.
It wasn't good. It wasn't awful, but okay. It wasn't good.
Better than knowing.
Yes, it was better than knowing. But is that really much to brag about?
No, but it's better than knowing.
According to Broadcasting and Cable magazine, ABC's Defying Gravity, not so stellar.
Oh, I get it. Stellar. Mm-hmm.
And then it goes
on
to say,
"Stellar is like, never mind."
Stellar, like the stars.
Yeah,
I don't even know her.
And then it goes on to say, CBS and Fox nabbed first place tie on Sunday night as the new space drama on ABC can't get off the ground.
Get it? Yes, can't get off the ground.
Well, I for one would like to say, if they're going to cancel it in 2 weeks, at least tell us what it is before they do, because I invested 2 hours of my life and I'd like to know.
Oh, whatever. They can just put it on Hulu and you can watch the rest of it.
I don't need to see the show even. Put it in Wikipedia. That's fine with me. Someone make something up and put it in Wikipedia. I can sleep at night.
You just need to know what it is. There was just way too much exposition for the show. Like, I was supposed to care about people who I barely knew.
Imagine 2001 A Space Odyssey, but with bad pacing.
And with commercials.
Not that I've ever seen 2001.
Have you seen the space? It has that good spacing in that movie.
I know, that's why.
2 hours of the monkey.
But this is like taking a 2-hour boring movie and turning it into a series.
Yep.
But I really would like to know what it is.
I liked it. I just had a problem with, there was just too much of it.
Yeah.
The one problem I had with it is it was very acty. Like people, like when you see like Lost or something, it's like, you know, it's kind of more natural and everything. This mm-hmm. is very much, this is dramatic.
The voiceover did not help that one bit.
Yeah.
When I hear that, I think smart.
Their flashbacks were too important.
It's like everything seems very defined.
Did this feel...
Every moment felt important.
Yeah.
I mean,
I live in a house.
That was funny. But I heard this described as Grey's Anatomy meets Lost. But that seems like more than a description. It seems like someone really tried to contrive. Let's take some Grey's Anatomy and some. I mean, he's got the flashbacks. He's got all the stupid relationship stuff. They take off their boots and they float. It almost seemed like this was created by a computer.
How, actually?
I agree with you. It does not feel like the story and the characters came out of some sort of creative process as much as some sort of... marketing process.
It's like instead of making the band, they did making the series.
Yeah.
And this is the result.
Yeah. It doesn't feel natural. But I think that's in part the framing device. I just think that they tossed too much at you too soon. I think it could have been paced differently. There's just too many important things. Like the first episode, you shouldn't have like, it'd be like if you found out everything we know about Lost in the first episode, except for the big mystery.
Yet.
Exactly.
But I do care about it.
which is sad because it means I'm going to watch it again.
I'm going to watch it again. Did they give it a name
by the end, like Beta or something?
Yeah, they did.
Whatever Beta.
Isn't
Alpha.
That the guy from the Star Trek Next Generation?
Data, different from Beta.
Beta is risk when you are trying to determine the risk in a stock. You determine the beta.
Buy low, sell high.
Isn't that what they called all that Google stuff that...
Beta is Google's subtitle. Google, Fortune 500, but in beta.
Yeah.
And you know why, because mark my words.
Oh, dear.
I wanted to give a couple of recommendations to the people out there. Maybe you even want to tell the people there, but that's up to you. That's your department.
All right.
Comic-Con occurred a couple weeks ago, as we talked about, and happily there are so many panels up to view. View the Lost panel. It is so awesome. I mean, awesome. And funny. My favorite was, what's his name, Richard Hatch? I don't think so. Orrin Hatch?
What's the Hatch?
Highliner guy.
I don't remember.
Richard Alpert. Yeah, first name's Nestor.
His appearance was my favorite, even though once he got on stage, he did not say one word.
I didn't see it.
No, you have to watch it.
Yeah. But the framing for this whole thing is the vast majority of it is scripted, right, including the people, you know, lost people.
The actors ask questions that are scripted.
So one of the questions
does it involve eyeliner?
One of the questions, does he actually wear eyeliner?
Yes.
And they went to him backstage.
So it's very fun. Okay.
I would also like to recommend the Psych panel, which is one of the most hilarious things I've seen in a long time. If you don't watch Psych, don't bother. But if you like Psych and like that kind of comedy, it's absolutely hilarious.
And I just found out they just posted the opening video from the Psych panel.
Good.
So
have you seen the Psych panel yet?
Not yet.
Oh, come on.
I know you're a busy guy. Don't get me wrong.
I will by the time we record next, which might be next week.
Anyone else got anything before I shut this down? Podcast, leftmanplace.com, 866-718-9408.
Tweet.
Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at LP Podcast. And until next week.
And then you can say your Twitter pated.
Do you have any bird sounds?
Twitter pated.
No.
Twitter pated.
You can be Twitter pated.
Isn't that the
That's what Thumper does, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye.